again. I want to pick up where we left off. We left off spending some time walking through the events of David's life before he became king of Israel. We reviewed several things that happened and pointed out the role of the priestly ephod that was used to inquire of the Lord. I'm going to pronounce it that way. I looked up the best pronunciation, and that's what I found, so that's what way I decided to pronounce it, not a word we use commonly in our language. And after joining the Philistines and being prepared to fight his own people, exhausted by Saul's pursuits of him, we find David being turned away and sent back home, only to find his town pillaged and his wives taken away. It's at this point in 1 Samuel 30 that he asks for the ephod, and he utters the words, "Bring me the ephod." This is when he inquired of God, and we made the parallel to us consulting the word of God in our lives, placing its words above our own problem-solving skills. So, that being said, when specifically should we turn to God's word? When can it help us? As we've said, we are obviously supposed to be searching the scriptures daily, and there are ways that it can help us in every aspect of our lives. But for this lesson, we want to get a little more specific than that. To answer that question for ourselves, we're going to consider, why did David inquire of God? Why did he say, "Bring me the ephod"? Well, in this account from 1 Samuel 30, there's a lot going on with David. I'll propose three reasons that he had consulted God in this situation. We could perhaps put more or less weight on each of these, but these three reasons will hopefully serve to remind us of times when we should follow his example and turn to God. Why did David inquire of the Lord? The first reason that he may have decided to inquire of the Lord was out of depression. Recall all of the things that seemed to be going wrong in David's life. Though anointed to be king, it did not appear that this was going to happen. Even though he seemed to be doing everything right, Saul still wanted to kill him. Despite acting honorably by not taking Saul's life, he has not seen the reward for that. Because of his decision to go to the priest in Nob, 85 priests were killed by Saul and Doeg the Edomite, and many other men, women, and children. Surely there was some guilt working on him. Beyond this, he was alone. His wife, who loved him and saved him, was not with him and was given to another. His beloved friend Jonathan is away from him. His two wives, including Abigail, who is a woman of great character, has been taken away. He had tried to go to the Philistines and had to resort to acting crazy to spare his life. Now he had joined them again, but they would not let him join them in battle. The city that he had been given, that would seem a blessing, has been burned to the ground. David is going to have other low points in his life, but this could perhaps be the lowest, especially considering that he is still a young man without a lot of life experience. 1 Samuel 30 verse 4 says, "Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep." David had much to weep about. Where could he go but to the Lord? We know that David was a psalmist, and several psalms are explicitly designated as being written by him. Likely many others were written by him as well. The author of Psalms 42 and 43 is unknown, but most think that they were probably written by David. They were certainly written during a low point during the writer's life, and if David, then one possible time could have been this time that we're looking at. Certainly many of these thoughts at least would have been going through his mind. Let's read Psalm 42 together. Psalm 42 begins, "To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation, and my God. My soul was cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Psalm 43 continues these thoughts. And imagine David writing these words while he is weeping with the people upon returning to the burned city of Ziklag. And even if they were not written then, they surely would fit his mood. These words reflect a long period of sadness and depressed mood. This mood seems to be impairing normal life activities. He says his tears have been his food day and night. He is perhaps not eating like he should. He is pressed down by the trials of life. Verse 7 says, deep calls the deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Think of a waterfall rushing over you. It just keeps coming over and over with a constant roar. Like waves of water, breakers coming into the shore. As soon as one trial finishes, another one comes behind. I'm sure many of you can relate to these words, whether you've dealt with a period of trial or even a period of depression. Notice the melancholy nature of the words as they vacillate back and forth between a focus on the problems and feelings of desperation, and then to hope and trust in God. When we're depressed, we struggle to keep our thoughts on a positive track. Despite what we know to be true, the thoughts and feelings of sadness constantly reappear. There are obviously different types of depression. There can be depression associated with a loss or other trials of life that is temporary. There can be clinical or major depression that is more severe and persistent, and that can last longer and cause major disruptions in our ability to function. What is the answer to depression? Seeking counsel from a professional trained in dealing with depression can be helpful. There can be value in medication to help control the extreme feelings that may come with depression. And depending on the person and the situation, those are tools that may be considered. But in David's time, he had neither of these. He sought counseling, but not that of a medical professional, but of the creator of his body and mind, Jehovah. I would submit that inquiring of the Lord, seeking his counsel, is a vital treatment when we as Christians face depression today. While David was able to consult God through priests, and at times God could communicate with him through prophets, we have the Bible. We can read these Psalms that we've just read and realize that others have had to endure terrible things in their lives. God left these for us so he can speak to us in times of distress and depression. We must choose to inquire of him in times like this, whether when we are simply feeling a little down, or even completely overwhelmed with paralyzing depression. We must say, bring me the ephod. We must pray that he helps us to see the light when we are struggling to see any. We must open the good book and let it remind us of the goodness of God and the hope that exists. These words from these two psalms constantly come back to truths that the writer would know from knowing God's word. Those truths are David's anchor, just like this should be ours. One practical way to inquire of the Lord is to read specific passages that are encouraging. There's a popular Bible app that you can get on your phone that has numerous reading plans available. Now, some of them have devotional content that may have to be a little careful with, but they will give you a broad selection of passages to read when you need to read something specifically encouraging or specific to some other issue that you want to study about. There are other resources like concordances and tracts and pamphlets that can help you find the passages that may help you the most when you're struggling. You can also seek the counsel of brothers or sisters who themselves know God's Word and can point you to it. Cody, I'm struggling with feeling down. Can you recommend some verses that I could read? Just like that. I don't want to minimize depression, especially major depression, by saying just read a couple of verses and all will be better. The way this lesson began was because I've wanted to preach on lesson on depression because I know so many struggle with it. I've talked to coworkers who've struggled with it. I've talked to members of my congregation that are struggling with it. I recently watched my grandmother suffer bouts of it as she dealt with dementia. I'm sure there are some here that have dealt with it or are dealing with it. And it's heartbreaking to watch someone fight these feelings. And this verse from 1 Samuel 30 came up when I used that Bible app I mentioned, looking for some passages on the subject of depression, where it said, "Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept, though they had no more strength to weep." And this sermon obviously isn't just about depression, but I hope we all realize just how real it is. For this lesson, realize the importance of God's Word in its treatment. Yes, there are other things that can help, but let us not neglect to inquire of God when we are suffering from depression, and when we see others battling it, to find ways to help them consume His words. Next, David inquired of the Lord because he was weak. We saw from verse 4 that David and the people wept so much that they had no more strength to weep. This was an emotional and physical depletion. But more than this, David was not the strong leader that he needed to be. Look at verse 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." David was greatly distressed, but not for any of the reasons we've talked about. He's distressed because the people are unhappy with his leadership, blaming him for the tragedy that has occurred. He does not know how to respond to this. He does not have the strength to respond to this. Recall that David has many men of Israel and apparently their families. Those people were described back in 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2, which said, "David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul, gathered to him. And he became commander over them, and there were with him about 400 men." Months earlier, those that were distressed came to David, and he knew how to be their commander. Now, he is distressed because tragedy has occurred, in part because of his choices, and he does not have the strength to respond. So, what does David do? Verse 6 says he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then in verse 8, he inquires of the Lord. Certainly, these two things go together. He reminded himself that to respond to this challenge, to demonstrate the leadership that was necessary, he needed the strength of God. He could not keep on trying to solve things on his own. He was empty, but he knew where to turn to fill himself back up. He needed to be reminded of his fortress, his God. He needed to seek God's counsel to rise to the challenge to lead his people in a difficult time. We know that God responds, that David moves from a place of weakness and strengthens himself in the Lord, chases down the enemy, and retrieves what was lost. In fact, he gains back more than was lost, having spoil that needed to be distributed. David, when left to himself and his own thoughts, was distressed because the people were not pleased. He was not leading, but reacting. After this spoil was obtained, there's a question about who to distribute it to. Not all of the men had the strength to retrieve what was lost. And those that did make the journey call for David to not share the spoil with those that did not come. Beginning in verse 21 of chapter 30, "Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow David and who had been left at the brook Bezor. And they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, 'Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each man may lead away his wife and children and depart. But David said, you shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us. Who would listen to you in this matter? For as his share is, who goes down into the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. And he made it a statute and a rule for Israel from that day forward to this day. Here we see David not simply reacting, not paralyzed by the will of his men, but leading and making a stand to do the right thing, regardless of what the men desire. When we are weak, we should inquire of the Lord by turning to his word to guide us. More specifically, when we're called to lead in some way in this life, we need to consult God and to seek the strength that does not exist in ourselves, but that comes through him. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. God's strength is made perfect in weakness when he is allowed to impart his strength to make up for our weakness. Hebrews speaks of David and other Old Testament heroes as being made strong out of weakness. Leaders of a congregation must remember that their ability to be strong leaders that God desires is not by being clever, not by making the congregation happy, but by constantly inquiring of God and leading proactively based on his strength and his will. Husbands must do the same, and mothers to their children, and fathers to theirs. And in any situation where strong leadership is required, that is when we should inquire of the Lord. Finally, David inquired of the Lord because, I believe, he was repentant. David had made some mistakes, and he realized it. At first in this saga, David acts very honorably and refuses to take the life of Saul, even though Saul is actively trying to kill him. But when Nabal behaves rudely, David is ready to kill him and his household. Eventually, David ends up joining the enemy and living with the Philistines. He lies to Achish about his raids to improve his reputation. He is also very heavy-handed with his raids, leaving none alive in order to hide what he is doing from Achish. He is then willing to go out to war, even against the Israelites, alongside the Philistines. How far he has fallen. Psalm 63 is introduced as being written by David while he is in the wilderness fleeing Saul. One of the things he writes in verse 7 is this, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." This is a very hopeful psalm. He speaks of those that seek to destroy his life, but expresses confidence in God that justice will be served. It seems, based on his actions, that this confident, hopeful, trusting attitude David had has waned a bit as he continues to be driven out from the kingdom that he had been promised. He starts taking matters into his own hands and sinning instead of relying on God. Yet, in actuality, the Lord was with him every step of the way. When Abigail stops him from killing Nabal out of anger, David even admits that God was working through her to keep his hand from sinning. Did he recognize that it was likely God that was giving him a way of escape when the Philistines refused to let him come into battle with them? If they had let him, how much more difficult would his kingship have been? He easily could have been the one to strike down Saul. He could have been the one to strike down his dear friend Jonathan. And even though he appeared to want to be in that situation, the Lord spared him from it. What appeared to him as negatives, God was working as a positive. When we come to 1 Samuel 30, it does not appear that David had inquired of the Lord for quite a while. In that time, it seems, he had drifted from doing things God's way. Yet God was with him each step of the way. I see a shift in David's actions in this chapter and see him turning from his period of self-will and coming out of his fog of depression and also of sin, and recommitting to seeking God and his will. Because he was not allowed to fight with the Philistines, he is able to return to Ziklag in time to recapture his possessions and wives. Even this raid demonstrates God's merciful hand, as the Amalekites are more kind to David's people than David was to theirs. Recall in chapter 27, verse 9, "And David would strike the land and would leave neither man nor woman alive. but would take away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the garments, and come back to Achish. David had been wrong. When he asked for the ephod and inquired of God, I think he knew it. What about us? A reality that should regularly confront us is that we have been wrong about something. If it doesn't, that probably means that we're just not really looking closely enough at our lives and working to grow. We all have room for growth, and we make frequent mistakes for which we need to repent. One component of this repentance should be seeking God's counsel. God's word can show us how to repent. What should we stop doing? What should we start doing? How do we make amends to those we have wronged? How do we apologize? How do we deal with any guilt and shame we are now experiencing? What situation should we avoid to not make the same mistake again? God has the answers to all of these questions when we look to Him to provide them. Wrapping up, hopefully we have learned some things by looking at this saga in David's life and seeing how, and especially why, he said, "Bring me the ephod." He decided it was time to consult the Lord, to bring the Lord in on his decisions. Doing it his way was not working. He sought the Lord because he was depressed, as that waterfall of life was pounding upon his head relentlessly. He knew the Lord was in control of it, and it was time to ask the Lord to help. He sought the Lord because he was weak, unable to lead the people who at one time came to him to command them, but now wanted to stone him. He let the Lord direct his steps and regained his ability to lead by the strength of God and do so proactively and not at the whim of the people's demands. And he inquired of the Lord because he was repentant, recognizing that he had drifted from doing what was necessary and desiring God's instruction put him back on the right path. We've talked this morning about the need to inquire of God by looking at what He has said in the Bible throughout our lives. The words He has provided us are very important. In the first lesson, we read what Paul told Timothy about God's words, describing them as that which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus, through faith in Christ Jesus. There is nothing more important for us than salvation. If we miss heaven, we have missed it all. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you can do that this morning. If you, like David, have not been the person you need to be and realize that you need to lean on God to help you turn from those things that are not right in your life, then we would be happy to help you this morning by praying with you and for you, or holding you accountable, or doing anything we can do to help you in your spiritual walk. If you have any spiritual need this morning, please come forward as we stand and we sing together.